Such maxims need no special pleader. They go straight to our emotions and help us simply because nature is exercising her proper function. The soul carries within itself the seed of everything that is honorable, and this seed is stirred to growth by advice. As a spark that is fanned by a gentle breeze develops its natural fire. Virtue is aroused by a touch, a shock. Moreover, there are certain things which, though in the mind, yet are not ready to hand, but begin to function easily as soon as they are put into words. Certain things lie scattered about in various places, and it is impossible for the unpracticed mind to arrange them in order. Therefore, we should bring them into unity and join them, so that they may be more powerful and more of an uplift to the soul. Or, if precepts do no avail at all, then every method of instruction should be abolished, and we should be content with nature alone. Those who maintain this view do not understand that one man is lively and alert of wit, another sluggish and dull, while certainly some men have more intelligence than others. The strength of the wit is nourished and kept growing by precepts. It adds new points of view to those which are inborn and corrects depraved ideas. But suppose, people retort, that a man is not the possessor of sound dogmas. How can advice help him when he is chained down by vicious dogmas? In this, assuredly, that he is freed therefrom, for his natural disposition has not been crushed, but overshadowed and kept down. Even so, it goes on endeavoring to rise again, struggling against the influences that make for evil. But when it wins support and receives the aid of precepts, it grows stronger, provided only that the chronic trouble has not corrupted or annihilated the natural man. For in such a case, not even the training that comes from philosophy, striving with all its might, will make restoration. What difference, indeed, is there between the dogmas of philosophy and precepts, unless it be this, that the former are general and the latter special? Both deal with advice, the one through the universal, the other through the particular. Some say, if one is familiar with upright and honorable dogmas, it will be superfluous to advise him. By no means, for this person has indeed learned to do things which he ought to do, but he does not see with sufficient clearness what these things are. For we are hindered from accomplishing praiseworthy deeds not only by our emotions, but also by want of practice in discovering the demands of a particular situation. Our minds are often under good control, and yet at the same time are inactive and untrained in finding the path of duty, and advice makes this clear. Again, it is written, cast out all false opinions concerning good and evil, but replace them with true opinions, then advice will have no function to perform. order in the soul can doubtless be established in this way. But these are not the only ways. For although we may infer by proofs just what good and evil are, nevertheless, precepts have their proper role. Prudence and justice consist of certain duties, and duties are set in order by precepts. Moreover, judgment as to good and evil is itself strengthened by following up our duties, and precepts conduct us to this end. For both are in accord with each other, nor can precepts take the lead unless the duties follow. They observe their natural order. Hence, precepts clearly come first. Precepts, it is said, are numberless. Wrong again, for they are not numberless so far as concerns important and essential things. Of course, there are slight distinctions due to the time, or the place, or the person. But even in these cases, precepts are given which have a general application. No one, however, it is said, cures madness by precepts, and therefore not wickedness either. There is a distinction, for if you rid a man of insanity, he becomes sane again. But if we have removed false opinions, insight into practical conduct does not